But I guess that's the thing about alcohol.
Like, you know she's my girlfriend, right?
I stare at my knees. I keep picturing Cassie's lips pressed against Mina's ear. I can't stop thinking about that.
Molly, why are you doing this?
You think I'm doing this? My jaw tightens, because this is what Cassie does. She twists things around and acts like I'm coming at her out of nowhere. As if she hasn't spent the last few weeks completely absorbed in Mina Wonderland.
Oh my God, just stop, she says. You are so goddamn...
Oversensitive, I know. She throws her hands up. And I feel this wave of calmness. I know that's strange. But even though I hate when she calls me oversensitive, I like that I knew she would. I understand Cassie better than I understand myself. And I don't think Mina will ever know her like I do. I think I'm going to go, I say. She leans backward, laughing, hands over her eyes.
So, what? You're going to walk to the metro now?
I'm suddenly aware that people are looking at us. Not in a blatant way, but there's some not-so-subtle glancing. People love a shit show. I shrug.
Molly, come on!
I mean, what were you thinking? Now I'm fighting tears.
Like, you just decided to get drunk, and you assumed I'd be able to drive home by myself?
I cannot cry. I cannot start crying.
Okay, to be honest, I kind of thought you'd be getting a ride with Will tonight anyway, so...
Yeah, he's drunk too. She sighs.
We're crashing here with Will? Molly, please don't pretend you don't understand what I'm talking about.
I'm not. I exhale and rub my forehead. I'm not hooking up with Will.
Yeah, I noticed, which is why I thought you'd want the fucking Lexus. Look, you want to leave the car? Great. That saves us some hassle tomorrow morning. I just thought you might not want to metro tonight. Thought I was being nice. But whatever.
There's this pause. I look up, and the light seems a little dimmer, and everyone's a little blurrier around the edges. I catch a glimpse of Max across the room, talking to a girl I don't recognize, and he's laughing, and his bangs are clipped back from his face with a plastic barrette.
And what's the deal with Reed?
Cassie says, and I almost flinch.
With Reed?
She rolls her eyes.
Or not? I don't know. Just kind of got a vibe the other day on the porch.
We're friends.
Look, I just want you to be happy, okay?
She grabs my drink and takes a swig of it.
And I thought you wanted...
Okay, this is really warm and gross. She takes another sip.
I mean, it seemed like things were going really well with Will, but then I look over here and he's totally gone, and it's like, okay, I don't know what's up. But then something seems to be happening with you and Reed, which is great, fine, whatever.
I swallow.
Yeah, well, apparently Reed's not the kind of guy you date or have sex with.
What are you talking about? Mina said that. She said Reed's the kind of guy you marry. She laughs.
God, Molly, you shouldn't give a shit about what Mina thinks. Look how bad her taste is.
She pats her own chest and grins.
Come on. It's all so subjective. Like, look at that girl. Purple dress.
She gestures with her chin.
Are you sexually attracted to her?
I shake my head.
Okay, well, guess what? I think she's hella cute, and I would totally have sex with her.
I'm sure Mina would be thrilled.
Oh my God, I'm just making a point. We like who we like. Who cares if someone else doesn't get it? That's a good thing. That's less competition.
I don't know if I...
If you talk yourself out of liking Reed because of your goddamn ego, I will punch you.
My ego? I don't have an ego. If I had such a giant ego, why would I have such a hard time believing Reed actually likes me? Except, if I'm totally honest, I do believe it. Reed likes me. And I like that he likes me. But I'm not used to this game. It's this totally new way of seeing myself. Like I'm some hazily lit dream girl from a movie. I've never been that girl before.
I really like being that girl. So maybe I am some kind of egomaniac. There's just something terrifying about admitting you like someone. In a way, it's actually easier when there's no chance of anything happening. But there's this threshold where things suddenly become possible. And then your cards are on the table. And there you are, wanting, right out in the open. It's so many things. It's everyone knowing you're attracted to a guy who wears electric white sneakers. It's that little twinge of shame you feel when someone thinks he's not cute. Even though he is cute. He's actually really fucking adorable. I actually really fucking like him. And none of the other stuff should matter. 19. I want my normalcy back. I feel so undone. It's like stringing beads and realizing you forgot to knot your thread. I don't feel like me. I'm not a girl who curses out one boy, pretends to be dating another, and can't stop thinking about a third. And I've never fought with Cassie so often in my life. There's been this carefulness between us all day. She ended up crashing with Mina in Max's guest room, and Mina's friend Samar drove me to the metro. But we haven't talked about any of it since. Not Reed, not my giant ego, and especially not the other thing. The ditching me for Mina thing. Hey. Cassie appears in my doorway as I'm putting away my ribbon garland. Mina's here, and Olivia's working, so we're going to go keep her company and paint pottery. Great. Thought you might want to come. Okay. I wind my ribbon garland into careful loops, over my thumb and under my elbow, and back around again. I don't want to bust in on your date. She laughs flatly. It's not a date. Jesus, Olivia is literally going to be there the entire time. I don't reply. Okay, I get that you're feeling really, really sorry for yourself, but I kind of think you might want to come. Have you talked to Olivia recently?
No.
So you don't know what's going on with Evan?
I look up.
What's going on with Evan? Well, I was hoping you knew. Abby doesn't know either, but something's up. She just got back from Philly.
She shrugs.
Anyway, we're leaving now, so if you're coming, let's go.
I hesitate.
Okay, look, don't come. That's fine. But I don't want to hear this shit about me ditching you for Mina.
I'll come, I say quickly.
It's like Cassie and I are partners in the world's most complicated dance. Everything feels really fragile. If I take a wrong step, it could throw us off completely.
Cassie slides into the front seat of Mina's Lexus, and I take my spot in the back. We spend the whole ride to Silver Spring pointedly not speaking to each other, which brings out this pressured kind of chattiness in Mina. I remember her saying she talks too much when she's nervous.
Have you guys ever done this before? It's like they have plates and mugs and everything already made and fired up and ready to be painted. It's really fun. I mean, I suck at painting, but still. Molly, I think you'd like it.
Yeah. I mean, Olivia works there, so...
Oh, right. Mina says. Duh.
She slows to a stop at a stop sign. But it's been a while, I add. She tucks a lock of dark purple hair behind her ear.
Yeah, I'm thinking I'm going to do, like, a penguin design. Like, penguins in love? I want to try to make something for your moms as a wedding gift, but only if it turns out okay.
You know they'll love it no matter what, Cassie says. They're obsessed with you.
Aw, really?
Yeah, I think they're grateful you didn't dump me after that night with Grandma.
Mina giggles, and Cassie turns toward her and smiles. It's pretty awkward watching this from the back seat. They're not even being mushy or gross, but there's this feeling like they're the adults and I'm a little kid. I should be in a car seat, holding a sippy cup.
We end up parking on the street, a block or two away from the pottery place. I walk half a step behind Mina and Cassie. I'm not talking much. I guess I feel a little self-conscious.
So then, of course, the act of talking starts to feel like this huge, impossible thing.
I get like this sometimes. I get locked into a cycle of not speaking. It's like every time I think of something awesome to say, I rehearse it in my head so many times, I forget whether I've said it out loud yet. And I think it goes without saying that awesome one-liners are decidedly less awesome when you repeat them by accident. Better not to risk it. So I honestly have no idea what we're about to walk into, Cassie says, walking backward for a moment like she's our tour guide.
You mean with Evan?
Yeah, I don't know any details. At all. Abby just said something was up.
She shrugs, and then she pushes through the entrance.
The Pottery Place is quiet for a Saturday, and right away, I see Olivia. She's actually sitting at one of the tables painting a plate. There are two little girls working on ceramic piggy banks with their mom, but other than that, we have the place to ourselves.
Oh, hey,
Olivia says without getting up. We walk over to her. And she looks normal. I mean, she's wearing an awesome purple shirt with a gnome on it, and she doesn't look like she's been crying.
What are you working on?
Mina asks, peering at Olivia's work in progress.
Oh, it's dumb. It's just something to put up as a display.
But it's not. It's not dumb. I stare at Olivia's plate, feeling stupidly jealous. God, I always forget how artistic she is. Like, every once in a while, I fool myself into thinking I am, too. But I'm not. Not like this. Olivia's plate is stunning. She's covered the background in the palest green paint, with a thin line of gold around the outer edge. And in the middle, there's a half-finished dragon, exquisitely detailed, with carefully defined scales. Reed would flip over this. Holy shit.
Can I take a picture of this?
I ask. Olivia looks confused. The dragon, I add. It's beautiful.
Oh, thanks.
I'm serious.
I mean, it's not done, but sure.
I snap a picture with my phone. Then we settle in at Olivia's table, and she sets us up with plates and paint and brushes. First, we're supposed to sponge the plates down with water. Then Olivia reminds us to do three coats of the background color.
Look how hardcore she is. Cassie says, don't even try to skip one of the coats. She will lose her shit.
Olivia nods.
Shit will be lost. It's like, I'd almost say she was acting normal, except for the fact that I know something's up with Evan. So now I can't help but read sadness and heartache into every single paint stroke. I kind of want to just ask her. I can't believe Cassie hasn't.
But instead, we work in almost total silence. I cover the full surface of my plate with three coats of white paint, which feels slightly ridiculous. When it dries, I leave the entire middle of the plate white, but fill in tiny, colorful flowers around the edges. Mina's across from me, working on her penguins, leaning forward on her elbow. And Cassie appears to be trying to copy Olivia's dragon design. It's not going well.
This looks like it was painted by a fetus, she grumbles.
Mina rests her chin on Cassie's shoulder.
I like it, she says.
Cassie smiles.
You would. So, you guys went to a party last night?
Olivia asks.
Yeah, it was all right. And you just got back from Philly, right?
Mina asks. I give her a huge internal high five. I cannot believe how quickly she just brought the conversation around to Philly. She is truly the child of psychologists.
Yeah, I got back last night,
Olivia says, and then she sighs. Cassie jumps in.
You okay? What's up? Well,
Olivia shrugs.
Yeah, so Evan broke up with me.
Oh, Livy.
Yeah.
She gives me this wavery smile.
Oh my God, what happened?
She shakes her head calmly.
I honestly don't know.
Then she shrugs again. Then she bursts into tears.
That fucker, says Cassie.
And then Olivia tells us everything.
I was just going to stay until Wednesday, and, like, I don't know.
She sniffs.
Everything was normal, for the most part. Like, I guess he was acting sort of distant, but I didn't realize it at the time, you know? Just in hindsight.
This was at his parents' house,
Cassie asks.
Yeah.
She nods. She takes a deep breath.
Yep, I mean, his parents were there, his sister was there, so it wasn't like there was drama.
Evan Schulmeister's parents. I'm pretty curious to know what they're like. Also, maybe this is really nosy, but a part of me wonders how this all works. Like, what happens when you visit your long-distance boyfriend at his parents' house? Do you just not have sex? Or do you risk it and hope his parents don't bust in? Because something tells me Evan Schulmeister's family is very, very involved. Though that's strictly speculation, and it's clearly beside the point. But then again...
Did you have sex?
Cassie asks matter-of-factly. Olivia blushes.
I mean, yeah.
So he had sex with you and then he dumped you?
I guess so.
I will fucking destroy him, says Cassie, and Mina nods solemnly.
I don't even understand, I say. Olivia fidgets with her paintbrush.
I don't either. Everything was fine, you know? He asked if I could stay until Friday, so I even rearranged my work schedule.
Cassie practically hisses.
This is so fucked up.
And I guess it was because he was planning to break up with me, but hadn't worked up the nerve yet. Like, he needed an extension.
Are you kidding me?
Across the store, the two little girls and their mom look up from their piggy banks abruptly.
Shit. Sorry.
Cassie drops her voice to a whisper.
It's fine,
Olivia says.
Yeah, I'm not even kidding. So yesterday morning, he comes into the guest room with tea and a bagel and everything, and I thought it was sweet. He'd never made me breakfast in bed before, you know? But then he literally waits until my mouth is full of bagel and says, "So I wanted to talk to you." And I'm like, "Okay." And he says, "I don't think I'm ready to be exclusive."
Jesus Christ, Cassie says. You've only been dating since 8th fucking grade.
I know.
Olivia shrugs.
So then what?
I mean, it's not like I was going to argue with him.
I cannot fucking believe this.
Oh, there's more, Olivia says. So I'm basically quiet this whole time. And he keeps saying he's very concerned that I'm not reacting.
Which is bullshit,
Mina interjects.
Right? So he finally says he's going to leave me alone to process this.
Ugh,
Cassie snorts.
Except right before he leaves, he seriously turns to me and says, "I just want you to know we can still hook up."
This makes me gasp.
He did not.
Oh, he did.
Fucking Schulmeister, says Cassie. Tell him I'll hook him up with my fucking fist, this motherfucking douchebag.
Holy shit, I forgot how terrifying Cassie is when she's really, truly angry. I don't think I've seen her like this since middle school. Since the boner-deflating womp-womp-womp guys. And I guess that's the thing about Cassie. She has zero tolerance for this kind of cruelty. She will smack boys down with no hesitation. It's kind of heroic. I kind of love that about her. And now she catches my eye, maybe by accident, and I feel my lips tug upward. I can't help it. She smiles back, just a little, and I feel this twinge of relief. Cassie's already gone when I wake up on Sunday. But my mom's talked me into going to the farmer's market. So I wander down there on my own. It's one of those days when the crowds are sort of overwhelming. I claim the end of a bench and sit cross-legged, fidgeting with my friendship bracelets. There are little kids everywhere, wandering among the booths of vegetables and freshly cut flowers. It's the kind of thing that normally makes me feel really nostalgic. Today, I'm mostly just tired. So now I'm officially that person sitting on a bench in perfect weather, surrounded by neighbors, zoned out on my iPhone. I text Abby. Did you hear about Schulmeister? Angry face emoji. And then I pull up my photo of Olivia's plate and text it to Reed before I can talk myself out of it. So my friend Olivia painted this. You love it, right?
Okay, there's something terrifying about typing the word love in a text to a boy. Even in this utterly neutral, dragon-related context. I mean, now I can't stop looking at it. It's as if I typed it in bold with a heart for the O.
Oh, I totally love it,
he writes back immediately. And then, a moment later,
how's the farmer's market?
Okay, wait. He texts again.
Psst, look up.
And it's him. He's right here. Hey, what are you doing here?
Getting vegetables?
He says, his voice rising like a question. He hoists up a reusable grocery bag to show me. Right. I smile. God, he just looks so Reed. He's wearing brown shorts and a Game of Thrones shirt. But it's a totally different Game of Thrones shirt, which means he clearly has a collection of them. And his sneakers are so, so white. There's this feeling in my stomach like ribbon curling. Hey, guess what? I say quickly. Of course, he actually tries to guess.
You found a tiny chocolate chicken inside a mini egg?
I laugh. No.
That is a shame.
He sits beside me on the bench.
So, what is it?
What is what?
What am I guessing?
Oh, now it feels anticlimactic. It's just, I realized something the other night that made me think of you.
What?
Have you ever noticed that dragon rhymes with flagon?
Yes,
he says, smiling. I guess it seemed funnier on Friday, I say. Told you it was anticlimactic.
I think it's climactic.
Climactic. Okay, that word. Jesus Christ. It can't be possible to blush this hard. I can't keep acting like this around him.
Hey, I have a question,
he says suddenly. He clears his throat.
Do you feel like working today?
Oh, sure. Do you need me to cover your shift? I tuck my hair behind my ear.
No, I just want company.
Really?
Really. And,
he adds,
I'll pay you in mini eggs.
You must think I'll do anything for mini eggs.
Yes.
I grin at him. I don't know how to explain the way I'm feeling. It's equal parts terror and contentment, which makes no sense. I know that. Let me text my moms so they know.
That's very responsible of you.
We walk down Carroll Avenue, and Reed tells me about a new shipment at Bissell. Except I'm having trouble paying attention. To be honest, I'm a little bit obsessed with my hand. And his hand. And the space between our hands. I don't know if I should swing my arm or clasp my hands or let it hang. Every movement feels weirdly deliberate. It's a little ridiculous. If you turned me into a pie graph, the obsessed with hands part would look like Pac-Man.
So we're left with the greatest quantity of bubble wrap ever to exist in one room,
he concludes. What about the bubble wrap factory?
We have surpassed even the bubble wrap factory.
I pantomime pinching a bubble between my fingers. Pop.
Pop,
Reed says. I look at him, and he's smiling. We walk right past Cassie. I don't even notice her until she calls out to me. She's on a bench with Mina and Olivia, and they're all holding cups of gelato with tiny plastic spoons. Cassie's legs are tucked up cross-legged. Hey, where are you guys going?
I tricked Molly into helping me work,
Reed says. No, I tricked him into thinking he tricked me. Mina giggles, and Cassie rolls her eyes, but not in a mean way. Have you guys met each other? I say. Olivia? Reed.
Hey.
Reed smiles at Olivia, and she smiles back. I feel almost apprehensive. Maybe it's the particular way he's smiling, or the way her cheeks have gone pink. Wow, I love your shirt, Olivia says. Reed looks delighted.
Wait, are you into Game of Thrones?
Am I into Game of Thrones? She asks incredulously. Am I a human being with a beating heart?
Yes.
Reed pumps his fist.
and my twist of dread turns into a tidal wave of panic. Because I've already seen this exact kind of moment unfold. At the 9:30 club, with Cassie and Mina, in Mina's Georgie James shirt. And for the first time in 4 years, Olivia is single. No. I've never been someone who gets the urge to hit people. I'm not actually imagining smacking Olivia across the face right now. My sweet, fairy-loving, ocean-calm friend, Olivia, who just had her heart broken by Evan Schulmeister. I think I must be going crazy. Because this is Olivia. I mean, I can't be this shitty of a person. We should get down there, I say quickly, and Reed nods.
Okay, well, hey, Cassie says. We were thinking about having a sleepover tomorrow night, with us and Will and Max. Do you guys want in?
I don't even have to look at Cassie to know that she's mortifyingly twinkle-eyed right now. I can hear it in her voice. I look up at Reed, and he shrugs.
Okay, yeah.
He smiles. And Olivia smiles, too. I can't tell if the lurch in my stomach is excitement or dread. 20. Patty and Nadine are all about the sleepover. I think they'd be twitchy if it was just Mina. I guess they recognize the rest of us for the veg blockers we are. I don't even think they worry about me around boys. So that's a little sad. Anyway, Nadine digs out some old sleeping bags from the linen closet, which is essentially an official endorsement. Mina's eyebrows shoot up. Your parents are so cool.
So are yours, says Cassie.
Mine are, like, low-key cool, Mina says. Not this cool. Do your parents let you drink?
Cassie and I glance at each other.
Not technically, she says.
Mina bites her lip.
Should I tell the boys not to bring vodka?
We'll be discreet.
Cassie grins, and my heart beats faster. I've never felt quite so 17. We carpet Cassie's floor in sleeping bags. Our entire upstairs used to be an attic, so the rooms aren't exactly huge. Cassie's isn't the biggest, but it feels like it is, because it's the only room where the ceiling peaks high enough to fit the bunk beds. Mina stays for dinner, and Nadine has picked up those giant double-fried Korean chicken wings from Bonchon to impress her. And honestly, I can't decide if it's a sweet effort or if we're wading into Grandma Betty territory. But Mina laughs it off.
That's awesome, she says.
Well, we think you're awesome, Nadine replies. But everyone's acting awkward. Except Xavier, who's doing drum solos on his high chair tray with a plastic spoon. But the rest of us? I can't explain it.
So who's coming tonight? Patty asks.
Olivia
and Will and Max and Reed, Cassie says.
That's a lot of dudes, Nadine says. We're all silent for a moment.
Yes,
Cassie says finally.
So are you guys feeling ready for the wedding? Mina asks.
I think so, Nadine shrugs. It's very casual. We've got about 35 people coming, so it's just about making sure we feed everyone.
And we'll have kosher, gluten-free, vegan, everything, Patty adds.
There's another random silence. I don't even know why. Maybe we haven't found our rhythm with Mina.
And our nephew is arranging the table and chair rentals, Patty says.
Isaac? I ask. That's Abby's brother. And I'm having trouble picturing him on the phone with a wedding rental facility. He's ridiculously smart. Smart enough to get a full scholarship to Howard. But he loves to party, and not in the way that involves rented Chiavari chairs.
He has hidden depths, Nadine says.
Maybe we should have a backup plan.
Right. What's the plan if it rains? Mina asks. My mom was wondering that.
She takes a bite of her chicken wing and puts it down, reaching for her napkin.
Our plan is to deny the possibility of rain,
Nadine says. And Xavier bangs his tray loudly, as if to add an exclamation point.
Everyone comes over after dinner, and I cannot get my mind to simmer down about this. Spending the night in Cassie's room, with everyone, with Reed. I'm not entirely sure how to navigate this. I'm a certain version of myself when I'm around Reed, and I'm a different version when I'm around Mina's friends. I'm not good at collisions of worlds. I feel jittery and on edge.
This is a cool neighborhood,
Will says.
I'm jealous you can walk to the metro.
It's definitely convenient. Cassie settles in next to Mina on the floor, their backs against the bed frame. Everyone's leaning against something. Will and Max against the drawers of Cassie's desk, Olivia against the door, and Reed and me against the wall. We're all in a rectangle on the outer edges of the floor, but if we stretched our legs out, I think everyone's feet would touch. Will unzips his famous man purse and pulls out a bottle of vodka. It's the fancy kind, with frosted glass and a blue top. I have no idea how he gets all this booze. Maybe he has a fake ID. Maybe everyone does except me. I feel like I'm in a movie. Cassie has a carton of orange juice from the co-op, and the first thing she does is pour some into a big plastic cup. That's Cassie's favorite hack. If you make enough room, you can mix vodka right into the carton. I'll drink that, I say quickly. I'll have the plain cup.
Can I share it?
Asks Reed, and I smile up at him. I had a feeling he wouldn't drink. But everyone else does, even Olivia. And it's funny. I never really imagined myself as a person who would go to a boozy slumber party or a boozy house party. And definitely not both in 1 week. But I guess that's the thing about being 17. You never know what you'll do until you do it.
So guess what I read today? Cassie says. Did you know orgasms strengthen your core?
Sweet.
Max pumps his fist. Olivia bites her lip.
I've never had an orgasm.
And here's the funny thing. When she says it, I actually feel this twinge of envy. Not because she's never had an orgasm, which, go figure, Evan Schulmeister. I mean, it's probably obvious that I haven't either. And lack of orgasms aren't something to envy. But I wish I were the kind of person who could just admit it out loud.
Olivia, Cassie says, you are missing out.
Does that even need to be said? It's an orgasm.
But I hear it's like sneezing, Olivia adds.
Orgasms? Cassie laughs.
Says who? Says the internet.
Is that why you used to sniff cumin powder all the time? Cassie asks.
Scientific inquiry.
Mina giggles.
Olivia, you are so cute.
You know what it's like?
Cassie says suddenly. She leans back, her arm draped around the bed frame.
It's like Super Mario Brothers. It's like when Mario eats the leaf, and then he runs and runs, and then he's flying.
She zips her hand up into the air. Will and Max start laughing so hard I think they both might choke. But Olivia looks reflective.
That's sort of beautiful, she says.
Olivia, that's not what it's like. Orgasms are not like video games,
Max says.
Oh, okay. You're the expert. I'm sure you're the only person in the world who's ever had one.
Cassie rolls her eyes.
So I'm a little freaked out.
This whole conversation is making me unravel. Sometimes I think I'm the last virgin left in the entire universe. Everyone else is having incomprehensible amounts of sex. Everyone's naked and touching and kissing. Except me. I know it's not true, but that's how it feels.
Will chugs his drink with a giant gulp and immediately refills it.
Don't you dare get sloppy drunk, Cassie warns him.
I'm not drunk.
She narrows her eyes at him.
Look,
he says, pulling up onto his feet.
Want me to walk in a straight line?
He walks in a straight line, directly toward me.
See? Perfectly sober.
And then he slides down the wall next to me. Right beside me. One entire side of his body is pressed against mine. And Reed's on my other side.
Honestly, it's kind of thrilling being sandwiched between two boys. Even though I don't like Will. Not like I like Reed. Will asks if Cassie can turn on some music, and then he leans in to ask me what I want to listen to. It feels like a test. Florence and the Machine? I say uncertainly.
Ah.
He nods, and it's impossible to read his expression. This is a little overwhelming. Cassie puts on the Florence and the Machine album, and then everyone starts talking about sex again.
Okay, I have a theory,
Reed says, leaning toward me. A theory?
Yes.
He pauses and lowers his voice to a whisper.
I think they're all virgins. I think everyone is full of it.
I turn to smile at him. Oh, really? He nods emphatically.
It's a huge conspiracy. I think everyone insinuates they're having sex, but really they're just at home on the internet.
Telling all their internet friends how much sex they're having, I add.
Exactly.
He smiles. Okay, but how do we explain pregnancy?
Immaculate conceptions. Hey.
Will nudges me.
What are you whispering about?
And then he gently grabs my wrist and cradles it in the palm of his hand. He seems strangely intrigued by the texture of my friendship bracelets, tracing his fingertips along their knots and ridges. I feel suddenly short of breath.
Who are these from?
Will asks. My cousin? I swallow. Abby. She's my best friend.
Let me guess. She has matching ones?
Maybe. Definitely. I feel Reed watching me, watching Will. And I almost think he might be jealous. I mean, I could be imagining it. But I just have that feeling. And it's not a bad feeling. I am definitely, definitely a shitty person. Later, when we settle into our sleeping bags, I'm in between Reed and Will again. And Will scoots up extra close beside me. So close that I don't know how I'll get up to go to the bathroom without jostling him. That thought alone makes me have to pee, urgently. But I don't want to move. I'm lying next to hipster Will. And Reed. I don't think my heart wants to stay in my chest. I wake to the sound of rustling fabric. Will rolling over. Though he's still passed out and snoring softly, his lips slightly parted, and Max is curled up in a ball next to him. Cassie and Mina are tangled up in blankets on the top bunk. But the bottom bunk is crisply made. I guess Olivia's up. And Reed's sleeping bag is empty, too. I have this sudden jolt of fear, but I try to shake it off. I slip out of my sleeping bag and stop by the bathroom, and then I walk quietly past Xavier's room and down the stairs. The living room light is on, but only dimly. When I look through the doorway, I see two heads of rumpled hair over the back of the couch, sitting very close. Hi. I step into the room. My brain is buzzing.
Oh, hi,
Reed says. And I could be imagining this, but I swear he looks startled. Maybe even guilty. Olivia smiles up at me. And she's practically tucked into him. I feel numb. Have you guys been up for long? I ask slowly. I perch on the armrest of the couch.
Maybe an hour?
Reed says.
We've just been hanging out.
I'm trying not to stare at them. I'm trying. But I have to take inventory. Olivia's under a blanket, and I can't see her hands. I can't see his either. Numb. Or maybe the opposite of numb. They're holding hands under the blanket. I'm almost sure they are. Which is bullshit and extremely uncool. Not that I care who Reed likes. I should not fucking care. And I don't. I don't care. Except then Olivia stretches, her hands clasped together, and I almost sigh with relief. They're not holding hands. That's good. I need to catch my breath.
I was just telling Reed about the different types of lenses, Olivia says.
Yes, apparently there are lenses, and you can pop them off the camera.
Apparently cameras exist outside of iPhones, Olivia grins.
Reed's dimple flickers.
So you claim.
I can't stay here. I can't watch this.
I should get dressed, I say. Imagine if getting dressed took 5 hours, because that's how long I spend in my bedroom. If I could stay in there forever, I would. But eventually, Patty appears in the doorway.
Do you have a minute?
I'm in bed, and I do not have a minute. Today's schedule is devoted entirely to Facebook. Reed Wertheim became friends with Olivia Lambert, and checking my phone for missed texts, of which there are none. Of fucking course. But I shrug, and when Patty pushes my door all the way open, I see that Nadine and Cassie are behind her. Family meeting, Nadine announces. Mind if we sit? I shake my head.
We're safe.
Mina's watching him. She scoots onto the foot of my bed, and Patty takes the chair. Cassie slides in next to me and hugs my pillow to her chest.
So yeah, Nadine says, I'm just going to come out and ask you guys. Was there alcohol last night?
I feel Cassie stiffen beside me. I don't say a word. Nadine purses her lips.
Let's start with this. Want to explain why Will was puking in our bathroom at 4 a.m?
He was puking? Asks Cassie.
Oh, yes.
Cassie shoots me a look.
Did you know?
I did not. A perfect telepathic conversation.
I had no idea, Cassie says.
I'm not asking if you knew. I'm asking if you know why.
Cassie hugs the pillow tighter and nods.
I should deny it. I should point out that I actually just had plain orange juice.
This time, anyway.
I don't think we have to tell you this is unacceptable.
Patty shakes her head.
We give you girls a lot of leeway.
We trusted you, Nadine interjects.
I'm sorry, Cassie says quietly. This is my fault.
And maybe this is unfair, but I don't contest it. Because, yeah, it actually is her fault. She's the one who invited everyone over. She's the reason we're probably about to get grounded forever. And she's also the reason Olivia and Reed are sending flirty Facebook messages right this minute.
Probably. Undoubtedly. I'm not going to cry.
Molly, we need to hear from you too, Patty says. What do you want me to say?
I feel my eyes prickling, and I shake my head fast.
If you're going to ground us, just ground us.
Excuse me?
Nadine says.
Just tell me what to do and I'll do it. You want my phone? Here.
My voice cracks.
I don't care.
You know what?
No.
That's not how we're doing this. You want to drink like an adult? Fine. Then you're going to sit here and discuss it like an adult.
Yeah, I'm sitting here.
I fold my arms.
Molly,
Cassie whispers. I turn away abruptly. Patty scoots the chair closer.
Molly, what's going on? Talk to us.
My thoughts are racing. I can't seem to catch hold of them.
I guess I don't get why this is such a big fucking deal.
I trip a little over the curse word.
We'll be in college in a year. We're turning 18 in 5 months.
Which means you get to drink and sneak around?
Nadine's voice is quiet, but it thunders.
I don't think so.
Why does it matter?
I whip back.
Why does any of this matter?
It's like an anvil falling. Everyone stops. Everyone looks at me.
Uh-uh. What has gotten into you?
Nadine stands. But I'm too far gone to stop.
Into me? Literally nothing. Nothing's gotten into me. Nothing happens to me.
so maybe you should talk to Cassie. Maybe you should ask her what an orgasm feels like.
Cassie gapes at me.
Are you kidding me?
Molly, that's not okay.
Nadine starts to say, but I cut her off.
Whatever. I'm done.
I stand abruptly, pushing past her, out the door, and down the stairs. Mina steps out of the kitchen, holding Xavier's hands up while he wanders.
Oh, hey,
she says. I barely return her hello. I don't even stop to hug Zave. I slip out the door, and I don't care that it's drizzling, and I don't care that I'm in pajamas. I curl up on the steps and take out my phone. I call Abby. She answers on the first ring.
So funny! I was just talking about you.
My heart sinks. If she was just talking about me, she's not alone. Which means I'm about to lose my shit in front of Nick or Simon or one of Abby's millions of other new best friends. Perfect.
Molly?
She says.
Hi.
It comes out like a choke.
Are you okay? Molly, what happened? Wait, hold on. Let me just...
I picture her gesturing to Nick, maybe smiling apologetically.
Okay, I'm heading upstairs. What's going on?
I really want to tell her about Reed liking Olivia, but I can't. Which is ridiculous. I mean, it's Abby. She's not going to make fun of me. Except she might. I don't know. Maybe Cassie told her about Reed. Maybe she told her what Mina said. That sex with Reed is unfathomable. Which means sex with me is probably unfathomable, too. Because nerd sex is a joke. Fat on fat. Dweeb on dweeb. Womp, womp, womp. And no one seems to see how cute Reed is, except me. And fucking Olivia. Reed fucking Olivia. I seriously want to scream.
Molly, talk to me. Are you okay?
She asks again. I'm okay.
No, you're not. What's going on?
I need to breathe. I need my lungs to get it together. I'm just... Deep breath. Cassie's really mad at me. And so are my mom's.
Okay.
There's a smile in her voice.
That's it?
It's not funny.
No! Oh, Molly! I'm not laughing at you. I'm just... Do you know how often Isaac is mad at me? Or my parents? Seriously, my dad is mad at me literally every day. That's how parents are.
Not my parents.
That's because you never screw up.
Are you kidding me? She laughs.
Well, what happened?
So I tell her. And honestly, talking about it makes me feel calmer. I guess the situation is a tiny bit hilarious. I mean, I actually left Cassie there to explain how orgasms feel. To our mothers.
So Hipster Will blew it for you guys, huh?
He totally blew it. Abby giggles.
He's so not getting the Molly makeouts now.
Never. As if the Molly makeouts are such a hot commodity. As if guys are lining up at my door. I actually hate that expression. Grandma says it sometimes. Like, that's supposed to be the goal. To have a whole line of guys desperate to date you or have sex with you or whatever the end game is. Like, I should want to collect boys like Pokemon. I don't want that. I don't want to break hearts. I just want Reed. It's scary to even think that. I want Reed. And maybe I'm crazy, but I was sure he liked me too. The way he looked at me in that rainstorm. The way he sits a little closer these days. The way he looked at me when I was talking to Will. I was so sure. I was so not careful. And now I know what rejection feels like. It's a whirlpool of suck.
21. Hey, you're not grounded,
Reed says when I walk into work. Not yet. I don't know. I settle down next to him on the floor of the baby section. There are baby shoes everywhere. What happened here?
toddler rampage.
Uh-oh.
This place is literally birth control,
he says. I smile faintly, settling in beside him to stack a few shoeboxes.
Seriously,
he says after a moment.
Is everything okay? Mina told Olivia you seemed upset.
You talked to Olivia?
She texted me.
My stomach drops. Right. There are approximately 50 billion things I want to ask him right now, like, when did you and Olivia exchange numbers? Do you like her? And especially this. Do you like her better than me?
Hey, guys!
I look up, and it's Deborah.
Is my muscle team available?
We just sold the Barnwood bookcase.
She pumps her fist.
We're on it.
Reed jumps up and extends his hand to me. I take it. He squeezes my hand softly before letting go. And Olivia doesn't exist right now. Until I see her by the checkout, her blue-streaked hair perfectly tousled. She's wearing a t-shirt and jeans and carrying what looks like a camera case.
You bought a bookcase?
I ask.
She laughs.
Ah, no. I'm looking for a picture frame. And saying hi.
Hi,
Reed says, smiling. The woman's just pulling her car around. Deborah rests her hand for a moment on Reed's shoulder. We carry the bookcase in silence, and I sense Reed looking at me quizzically. But I don't want to speak. I don't trust my voice right now. I can't believe Olivia's here. She's here. And I don't think it's because of me.
Did you find your frame?
Reed asks her when we step back inside.
I did. What do you think?
Of course she picked my favorite frame in the entire store. I mean, she's Olivia. It's wood, painted pale blue, with clusters of tiny hand-painted flowers.
It's for your mom's, she says. Did you hear I'm taking pictures at the wedding? Actually, I'm heading over there in a sec to take some test shots. I've got my Canon.
She pats the case at her hip.
Your Canon?
Reed asks. He pantomimes an explosion.
My camera?
Oh, right,
he says.
So, hey, I was just thinking, my friend Douglas is kind of a techie, and he's starting to get interested in cameras and photography. I was wondering if maybe you could talk to him. Okay, is fucking everyone into photography these days?
Totally, Olivia says. Actually, Will also does photography, and Mina's learning too.
I smile tightly. So Douglas has a lot of options.
Oh, cool,
Reed says.
But if you're up for it, Olivia, maybe the four of us could find a time to get together or something.
He glances at me.
I think Molly suspects Douglas doesn't actually exist.
That is true. I can't help but smile a little.
Well, I'm definitely up for it.
Oh, great. Let me text him.
He looks up at Olivia.
And, hey, my shift's ending in a minute. Do you want me to walk you to Molly's house?
Oh, that would be great.
Oh, my fucking goodness. So, this is happening. Right before my eyes. I mean, that's how it's going to be. It's that easy for Olivia. Maybe this is what life is like for most girls. I should smile. I should act normal. I should melt into the floor and disappear. I pull out my phone as soon as they leave. I never did write back to Will's dancing bee ladies. I've never even considered texting him. But I will literally, not literally, almost literally, explode if I have to sit around tonight imagining Reed with Olivia. Kissing. Holding hands. Making out. Discovering orgasms. What are you up to? I write, and then immediately delete it. I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to make this not sound like a booty call. I swear this isn't a booty call. Hey, Will. It's Molly. I tap send. Here's what I know. I shouldn't wait for a response. I should close the app, lock my phone, bury it in the zipper pouch of my bag, forget about it forever. I think messages from boys are like Santa Claus or Buzz Lightyear. They won't happen if you're watching them. but I can't help but watch. I have such perfect laser focus, you'd almost expect the screen to crack. A moment later, the screen refreshes, and a new message appears. A tiny miracle. Right as I'm staring at my inbox.
Oh, hey, what's up?
A million competing thoughts. He wrote back, right away. And he asked what was up. Like he's wondering what I'm up to. But not in a booty call way. Or maybe this is a booty call. Maybe this is exactly how booty calls work. At work, but... I take a deep breath. I was wondering what you're up to later? Three dots. But then the dots disappear. I think he's ignoring my question. Oh, God. But this is fine. Mortifying, but fine. I'm breathing. I'm okay. God, he's probably sitting with Max right now. No question. And Max is reading over Will's shoulder and laughing and giving Will shit about the fact that I'm obsessed with him. Like, I'm 100% positive Will thinks I'm obsessed with him. And now he's so freaked out, he doesn't know how to respond. Except... three dots.
Not much. Want to hang out? When do you get off?
Oh. Oh, shit. My brain goes foggy. Sure. Off at 4:30.
That works.
He writes.
Want to meet at the Tacoma Metro? I have an idea.
Dot, dot, dot. And then he throws down the big, cheesy, smiley emoji.
Whoa.
What's your idea? I write.
Wouldn't you like to know? See you soon.
He replies. Will's wearing a bow tie. I know that's absurd. Even more absurd is the fact that he's really cute in a bow tie.
You have excellent timing,
he says, enveloping me in a hug.
I was home and bored as fuck, and Mina never replies to her texts anymore.
So Mina's not available, and that's why he's hanging out with me. I don't know how I should feel about that. She's probably with Cass. Will smiles and shrugs. We step into the metro station, and for the second time in my life, I'm on an escalator with Will Haley. A train pulls in as soon as we step onto the platform.
See? You have the best timing,
he says. It's crowded. I guess it's almost rush hour. I end up mashed between a giant double stroller and a woman reading her phone. Will's fingers are about an inch above mine on the metro pole, which is probably something I should obsess over. Very cute boy, an inch away from holding hands. I definitely shouldn't be thinking about white sneakers in this moment. We get off at Silver Spring and step outside, and I don't know how I manage not to notice how warm it is today. I probably don't need my cardigan, but I wear it, like armor. Will walks down Georgia Avenue, smiling at me sideways, and then he stops in front of a store. Joe's Record Paradise, I say out loud.
Yep, paradise.
He says. He pushes the door open, and a bell jingles as we walk through.
This,
he says. He looks back over his shoulder, eyes meeting mine.
Take a look.
There's vinyl everywhere, organized on racks and shelves down long, narrow aisles. And in the back, the walls are, surprisingly, bubblegum pink. They're covered with framed band posters and album covers. Awesome. I flip through a rack of albums without really noticing any of them. You have a record player?
Of course I have a record player.
Will steps closer. We aren't looking at each other, even a little bit. But there isn't any space between us. I try to breathe normally. I have to admit, he has this ability to totally unsettle me. More important, he has the ability to make me forget Reed for almost 5 minutes straight. I timed it. Though purposefully not thinking about someone might be the opposite of forgetting him. Wow, I say quickly, pulling an album off the front of a rack. There's a couple on the cover, and they're completely naked. Pubic hair and everything.
That's John and Yoko,
says Will. He reaches out to take it, and then he turns it over to show me.
The back of the album is a picture of their butts.
Pretty edgy, right?